This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast, my only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity. I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phoneboy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Shut up and listen, everyone.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
Who said there were stars in this piece of shit?
Whoever it was, they lied.
Yeah, exactly. Well, welcome to episode 173 of The Lotus Effect, which we've provisionally titled Functionally High, which, you know, yeah. If you've heard this show, that's pretty much a common state of affairs around here. But, you know, as you know, the content's made up, show doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. I think I'm Phone Boy.
What the hell did he say?
Same as usual, not a damn thing.
Exactly. And of course, you know, I'm Phoenix.
The average radio listener listens for 18 minutes. The average Howard Stern fan listens for, are you ready for this?
Okay.
An hour and 20 minutes.
How can that be?
Answer most commonly given, I want to see what he'll say next.
All right, okay, fine. But what about the people who hate Stern?
Good point. The average Stern hater listens for 2.5 hours a day.
Look, but if they hate him, why do they listen?
Most common answer, I want to see what he'll say next.
That's right, and apparently y'all want to know what Phoneboy and I will say next, because the average pedalhead, a.k.a. Lotus Effect listener, listens for anywhere between 5 and 8 hours on average. So, you know, there must be something to this shit show we're putting out, and it's probably because we freak out all the time.
We do? Oh, yeah, I guess we do.
What is this, a freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell aglowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes, the danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing. And they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
We're there.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Yeah, well, we're freaking out, and, you know, that's how some people experience the Lotus Effect. Other people, well, I don't know, sometimes we experience the Lotus Effect all kinds of different ways.
Oh, yes, we do.
And however and wherever the Lotus is affecting you, we would love to hear about it.
I got mail! Yay!
I got you a dollar.
Yeah, we do actually put a lot of time in putting the show together, and we operate on the value-for-value model, which consists of the three T's of time, talent, and treasure. Now you can, of course, send us treasure. And I should have actually probably, I care about this so much. I actually didn't even look at the, we do have something. Oh, yeah, but we know what, we have to actually put this in the script. This is actually.
We do, because Sharky Shark came through with his monthly donation of $7.66. And you know what that means,
yeah,
Phoneboy.
There's a button here.
Oh, you the executive producer.
That's right. But, you know, this week we actually got some value that was not cash based, but very much appreciated. And that would be, again, some time and talent mixed together from none other than our favorite person, Cotton Gin, who created literally the DJ Lotus bot that now lets you know in the chat what the song that's currently playing on the stream is on or off hours.
That's right. So anytime, so theoretically, I mean, even and even when the metadata and some of the tracks is not good, it still manages to it gives me an unknown or something, but at least it gives you an indication of what and so that, but it is taking the metadata either from if I were on air, it's Apple Music or whatever. I can also manually do it for some tracks if I need to. But yes, there is. So the DJ Lotus will actually print the current track that's playing most of the time. If I'm playing it out of either when it's Liquid Soap doing it on the off hours or if it's through Apple Music, I haven't quite figured out how to do it from FreeTube yet. But that's Cotton Gin is the dude who came up with the So we're gonna look at the stream metadata and then we'll pull the right data when we need to display it. And so we were troubleshooting this last night during Rideshare Radio, which. You should, that's one of the ways you can send us, show us value, right? We're not so big on the time. We're not so big on the treasure part, but we like that. We love the time and the talent. And that's actually one of the ways you can do that is hang out with us, right? On, during Rideshare Radio, which is Fridays at 8 PM Central time. And, also, during the Lotus Effect, which we're recording.
You're experiencing now.
Which I'm experiencing now. Yes. Saturdays at 4 p.m. Central.
I was referring to the listeners, phone boy.
Well,
they're experiencing it.
Yeah, whether they're listening to our voice live or not. Yeah, they're still participating in it.
That's right. And I personally would love to know, put it in the chat, send it to 253-237-3321, whichever way you want to get a hold of us. But I want to know, do y'all think Phone Boy should change his moniker during Rideshare Radio and Studio 33 to DJ Lotus? Let us know what you think about that. Now, the ways that you can let us know what you think about the show or contribute by maybe sending stories that you think would fit into our structure, you can message us on the Massive Dong, Mastodong. I always say that. Mastodon. I can't even say it today. He is at phoneboy at lotuseffect.social. I'm at Phoenix, PHEONIX at lotuseffect.social. You can email us at idontgiveafuck@lotuseffect.show, actual working email address that is monitored daily. If you want to send us something physically in the mail, you can snail mail us. We'll give you the address. Hit us up in the back channel. Also, one thing that we absolutely adore, and we even have a new participant, Tom, shouting you out, man. Love seeing you in the chat last night for Rideshare Radio and again for the beginning of Lotus Effect. But join us in the chat sometime, y'all. Again, we do Rideshare Radios Friday at 8 p.m. Central. We start the pre-stream for Lotus Effect at 3:30 Central time on Saturday, followed, of course, by the Lotus Effect, which you are experiencing now, which starts at 4. And then we keep the party rocking into the wee hours in the morning, usually, on Studio 33, which starts right after our content. Now, details on how you can join the chat are at lotuseffect.chat, so check it out. Now, the other way you can offer us some feedback is, again, what I mentioned earlier, which is calling 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Yeah, that line is boozy because it's Google Voice and it will mangle your transcript and you could end up becoming a show title. Now, one of the other reasons to call 253-237-3321, other than to tell us you love us, hate us, or go fuck ourselves, is to weigh in on our yay or nay, either or topic, which today is, because it's that time, the crack dealers are outside every single grocery store there is. It is Girl Scout cookie time and we want to know, what is your favorite Girl Scout cookie flavor? Now, I know 2 weeks ago we did that episode where, or I'm sorry, that article where we talked about the fact that there is high levels of lead and cadmium found in basically all of these cookie flavors, as well as the chemical in Roundup, Monsanto, and that you should not be eating these shitty, horrible things. We all know how terribly addictive they are. So just let us know, 253-237-3321, which cookie is your kryptonite? Which one do you have to have every year when they come out? Let us know about it. I think we've explained ourselves pretty well, so you should probably take it from Dr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide and say, give it to me straight, doctor, I can take it.
No, I did not color code you, but I'm not going to take.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
Oh, I'll give you as much shit as I want, because I'm the one who...
Breaking the balls. Yeah, I didn't...
Oh, look at me with mute buttons. Lotus Tech tip, try unmuting something. No, what we mean when we say not going to take the shit, just be respectful, y'all. You can tell we break each other's balls around here all the time. It's good-natured ribbing. Just don't be hateful. We absolutely don't have time for any haters. And the other thing we don't have time for is these assholes, because our health segment will never, ever, ever be...
Brought to you by Pfizer.
And I'm pretty sure we'll never do this popular diet that now scientists are saying harms the gut and boosts inflammation. Juice cleanses have been popular on and off for years, with some fans swearing that the practice improves digestion, helps you detox, and even leads to weight loss. But juicing is a controversial practice, and many nutritionists recommend against it. Now, new research suggests that juice cleanses may harm your gut microbiome and boost inflammation. Yeah. Now, the small study, which was published in Nutrients, suggests that doing a juice cleanse for even a short period of time can throw your gut health out of whack. That could potentially have a big impact on your digestive and cognitive health, the researchers said. Now, the small study recruited 14 people, so it is a small study, and had them follow one of three diets for 3 days, an all-juice diet, a diet of juice and food, or a plant-based diet. What was that plant bite? Anyway, the participants gave stool, saliva, and inner cheek samples before and after the diets, as well as 14 days after they finished the diets. Now, the researchers discovered that people on the juice diet had abundances of inflammatory bacteria, which they linked to the high sugar. Yeah, high sugar. Low-fiber nature of the juice diet. Now, bacteria linked with gut permeability, in other words, the ability of the intestines lining to control what passes through the bloodstream, inflammation and cognitive decline also increased in the juice diet group. These findings suggest that short-term juice consumption may negatively affect the microbiota, the researchers wrote in the conclusion.
Aren't you glad that you can't see bacteria?
Yeah, well, you can probably see them in the diarrhea that you just had in the last clip we played here.
I would not have been, you know what? I guarantee you they drew straws and the short straw had to collect the stool samples from the juice group. I just want to point that out.
Probably, yes.
You are the hated person in the office if you have to do that.
Now, there are a few potential reasons for this. Now, when you eat fruits and vegetables, you get fiber, which is great, says Jessica Cording. Registered dietitian and author of the Little Book of Game Changers. But when you juice those foods, you miss out on the fiber for the most part. Now, what's left is primarily sugar. A high sugar, low fiber diet is not a beneficial thing for health, including gut health. Cording says, not really good for cancer either.
I asked my doctor, my cancer specialist, who is a hematologist, I said, is there any truth behind any of this with cancer? And she said, aren't you the no sugars, no grains guy? I said, yeah. She said, yeah, do that. And this was in 07. And I said to her, really? She goes, yeah, this stuff, you'll start seeing it in a few years. She goes, I'm at the ground floor of they're seeing where sugar really lights up cancer. And you want to stay away from sugar.
Yeah, well, and juicing also removes that insoluble fiber, which adds bulk to stool and helps keep digestion regular, Keatley points out. Now, insoluble fiber is essential for feeding beneficial gut bacteria and maintaining gut integrity, he says. Now, of course, what the article tells you to do instead is just to eat the fruits and vegetables whole. Now, if you insist on having the juice, maybe have it with some food that'll blunt the impact of your blood sugar. Just don't fucking have it. I mean, seriously, like... I don't know. Like this is a prime example. What we talk about is that your liver's a meritocracy. It doesn't matter where the juice comes from, or the sugar. The sugar comes from. It's still fucking sugar. So,
there's really great ways to be able to bulk up your stool. I can't believe we're talking shit just a different kind than we usually do on this show. But, you know, there's an easier, more healthy way to bulk up your stool. Eat some fucking meat. Steak, chicken, pork. I don't care. Some seafood, perhaps. Eat it. Protein is great.
We have, by the way, the next story, which talks about that.
It does. It actually leads right into the fact that 18 foods that have more protein than an egg.
The incredible edible egg.
Now, you know, here in Casa Lotus, we love us some chicken embryos, baby. We eat, especially with these obscene egg prices, we're still consuming eggs like they are a food group, and we are not sorry. Cannot wait to have our own chickens. But I digress. With eggs being at an all-time high price for whatever reason, depending on what M5M you do or don't listen to, we all know the truth that it's because they culled all those fucking chickens because, woo, avian bird flu, woo, the newest propaganda they're pumping into us. But anyways, there's articles suggesting some other sources of protein that may have more protein. And let's see what the experts say in this article that we should eat instead of, well, eggs. First of all, chicken breast.
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world. 'Twould be a pity to damage yours.
I assume with all the birds they killed because bird flu, or some reason that chicken would also be expensive. I don't know. Haven't checked personally because we get ours from a local farmer where we can trust it. And it's not all yellow, fat, nasty, blah, blah, blah. Tastes like cardboard. Have y'all ever noticed that? That the chicken you get at the grocery store just tastes like rubber or cardboard. And no, it's not because I'm eating rubber or cardboard, but you know what I mean. The texture is just wrong. When you look at it, it just looks wrong. And it tastes wrong as far as like the mouthfeel. It doesn't matter how you cook it. It just tastes wrong. Anyways, in any case, chicken breast is a complete protein, meaning it provides all 9 essential amino acids you need. It's rich in B vitamins, selenium, and choline. B vitamins convert food into energy, while selenium has antioxidant properties that can protect your cells. Choline's important for mood, memory, and muscle control regulation. It's especially important during pregnancy and lactation because it's essential for a child's brain development. A 3-ounce portion, or about the size of a deck of cards, of cooked chicken breast provides 23.8 grams of protein. Wow, that's a pretty substantial amount. So the next thing they recommend is, of course, cottage cheese.
Cheese, glorious cheese.
Now it supposedly has twice as much protein as an egg, but I personally think eggs are tastier. I cannot stand cottage cheese. The mouthfeel on that, ooh, I'm getting the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it. So the next one we don't necessarily agree with. We kind of gnash our teeth at slightly until you grind them up and put spices in them, you beautiful Israeli people. We're talking about chickpeas or garbanzo beans. They're a great source of plant-based protein. They're also rich in fiber, which can help improve cholesterol levels, promote blood sugar control, improve digestion, and help keep you full. Now, they're rich in many nutrients, including magnesium, folate, and iron. Magnesium supports bone health, immune health, and energy production. Folate helps with DNA production. That's why it's really important when you're pregnant. And iron helps carry oxygen from our lungs to other body parts. So these are really actually pretty good for you, minus the fact they're really carby. 27.4 grams of carbs to be exact. Now, of course, the article doesn't tell you that. But a 1-cup serving of these cooked chickpeas provides 14.5 grams of protein. So they're not terribly bad, but at the same time, who wants to eat just a regular cooked chickpea? Ugh, no thank you. Zero flavor, and also 0 stars would not recommend. I've eaten my share of these things because of some stupid diet that I've been on that's like, oh, eat chickpeas. Like, no. Turn them into hummus, and then we're going to talk about it. And it's only if we're in Israel and the person knows how to make it. Period. Dot. So, the next thing they talk about is almonds and almond butter.
I can't believe it's not butter.
They consider this a replacement when a serving of it doesn't even have half the protein of a whole egg. So I don't even know why they decided to add it into this list. They're just full of shit. Now, beef, tuna, turkey, salmon, all that lovely stuff we talked about before, they're all great choices. And the article agrees with that. Now, it didn't say how much protein they have, but you can assume it's a pretty fair amount with how much we talked about is in the chicken breasts. Because turkey is another kind of poultry, and yeah, you get the idea. Now, they do mention edamame or tofu. Now, you can take that tofu and shove it up your ass. You can also keep your fucking edamame. It's soy. Stay the fuck away from it. But according to the article, edamame is immature soybeans packed with fiber, protein, and other nutrients. They're one of the few plant-based complete protein sources providing all 9 essential amino acids. A 1-cup serving provides 18.4 grams of protein. And they also suggest tofu. However, it's soy. Like I said, probably not good to have in large quantities. We're just trying to look out for you folks, especially you ladies out there. Those of us who are getting up in age, just say no to soy. I'm just saying. Now, of course, the next thing they recommend is quinoa.
Fuck quinoa.
Here we go again, promoting a plant-based alternative that has less protein, only 8.1 grams, but definitely more carbs at nearly 40 grams of carbs. So you definitely want to pass on the quinoa. At least the next one that they list isn't terrible. Lentils. A cup of them will get you above what a single egg gives you protein-wise. But carb-wise? Yeah, 122 grams of carbs, according to the USDA. Those are real bad.
Yeah, I looked at, they didn't list the carbs in any of these things in this story. They didn't list anything about the carbs. I had to go look them up because I'm like,
I believe that because it's a distraction piece, I think.
Yes, of course. Now, yeah, and they also suggest like Greek yogurt, black beans, Parmesan cheese, pumpkin seeds, and shrimp. And
we can get behind a few of those, okay? We do like a nice tzatziki sauce occasionally. We put some black beans with some carne asada when we do a little Mexican night. Parmesan cheese, are you kidding? If we had the space, we'd buy a wheel of it. We use the Parmesan for sure. You're always snacking on pumpkin seeds. That's like one of your go-tos. Yeah. And I like a nice shrimp cocktail, maybe a scampi. So, you know, it's not all bad. We're not trying to shit completely on what they've said, but we're trying to bring to the attention that, yes, there are foods out there that have more protein than eggs, but they also have something that those eggs don't have, which is an ass load of carbs. Now, meanwhile, even if the price of eggs is too damn high, it's still more cost effective than some of these sources because we're not always talking about a financial cost. The shit that carb and grains, because isn't lentil or quinoa, I know, is a grain.
Yes, it is.
You know, you should not be eating grains, period, dot.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit how much protein they have. You know, that was one of them that had less protein than an egg and more of a chance that your body's going to swell up, puff up, and become inflamed and angry.
Yeah.
I think the basic answer on that is just say no to quinoa.
That's right. Well, the other thing we're going to say no to is a common artificial sweetener in diet sodas, which may raise the risk of heart attacks and strokes.
Consult your doctor before using this product. Side effects may include oily discharge, hives, loss of appetite, low blood pressure. If you have diabetes or a history of kidney trouble, you're dead, asshole.
Yes. In a recent study published in the journal Cell Metabolism, researchers evaluated mice fed aspartame, which is a common sugar substitute, for 12 weeks and compared them with mice without a sweetener-infused diet. Now, the amount of aspartame to the mice consumed, which is daily doses of food containing 0.15%, was equivalent to about 3 cans of soda per day for humans.
S-O-D-A, soda.
Now, the results revealed that mice fed with aspartame had increased inflammation and larger and more fatty plaques in their arteries, two main factors that could raise the risk of cardiovascular diseases.
No shit, Sherlock.
Now,
why do you think we've been bitching constantly about fake sugar is so bad for you, especially aspartame?
Yeah, even worse than regular sugar. Now, the researchers also noted that the mice's blood had an insulin surge after aspartame entered their system. Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. They then determined that the elevated insulin levels may be the key link between aspartame and cardiovascular health. Yeah. Yeah, insulin. Insulin and cardiovascular health. Yeah, those things do kind of matter if your insulin levels are high. Yeah,
that's there's a reason why if you're diabetic, they tell you you have a much higher risk of having a fucking heart attack.
Yes, aspartame triggers increased insulin levels in animals, which in turn contributes to atherosclerosis. Yes, the buildup of fatty plaque in the arteries, which can lead to higher levels of inflammation and an increased risk of heart attacks and stroke over time, the researchers noted in a news release.
Very gently, still using little circular strokes. There we go.
That would be a creepy stroke to have now, wouldn't it? The study identified a specific immune signal, the CXCL3CL1. That'll get you thing that gets activated under insulin stimulation is the key factor for inflammation and plaque buildup. Now, because blood flow through the artery is strong and robust, most chemicals would be quickly washed away as the heart pumps. Now, surprisingly, not CX3CL1. It stays glued to the surface of the inner lining of the blood vessels. There, it acts like a bait, catching immune cells as they pass by, said Senior Arthur Yehi Cow.
Hey, little girl, do you want some candy?
Cow believes at the same immune signal as CX3CL1 could be a potential target for treating other chronic conditions that involve blood vessel inflammation, like stroke, arthritis, and diabetes. Developing agents that block the functions of this immune signal could provide a new way to treat and prevent common and deadly diseases in humans. Now, artificial sweeteners have penetrated almost all kinds of food, so we have to know the long-term health impact, Cow cautioned.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
You know, they've been marketing to children for years. We've been the last couple of weeks with some of the stuff that we've done. I've gone back through some of those old cereal commercials that we used to watch as kids, right? You know, the part of this complete breakfast, the complete breakfast had like juice, toast, milk, and cereal. All fucking carbs, folks. Yes.
Oh, it's horrible. Now here's the thing.
They used to be a whole lot more honest because they used to just call it fucking sugar smacks, right?
Oh my God, yeah, they did.
Yes, and now it became like super golden crisp or some bullshit like that. It's still sugar bear. Yeah, dig it. Yeah, exactly. Well, that'd be
honey smacks. But the point of the matter is, it's still full of sugar and grains.
At least they were fucking honest back in the day. But now they say it's all, oh my God.
While you're having your sugar rant over cereal, I get to have my sugar rant over the fact, and you all have heard me talk about this before, and it ties into the next story we're going to cover. The pancakes, the godforsaken Lucky Charms and Cinnamon Toast Crunch pancakes for kids. You wonder why these little five-year-olds are toddling around at like 100 fucking pounds. It's your fault, Mom, for letting them get the Lucky Charms pancakes. And if those things aren't poisoning your kids enough with all the sugar, well, the FDA has set a recall on pancake and waffle mix to its highest risk level. Well, here's what to know.
Awoga! Awoga!
A previously recalled pancake and waffle mix product from Quaker Oats, Popular Pearl Milling Company brand, previously known as Aunt Jemima. God knows we are racist if we say it, but if you knew how respectful it actually was to be called aunt as a person of color back in that day, it was actually a term of endearment. You were respected if you had that title, so it is assuredly not a racist product. But anyways, it has now been classified at the US FDA's highest risk level due to potential allergen exposure. In an enforcement report for the week of February 19th, the agency categorized the Pearl Milling Company original pancake and waffle mix as a class 1 recall due to an undeclared milk allergen concern.
What?
Yep. The FDA classifies recalled products as class 1 when there's, quote, a situation in which there's a reasonable probability that the use of or exposure to a volatile product will cause serious adverse health consequences or death, its website stated. The agency routinely updates entries in its enforcement reports with a classification once it completes a hazard assessment. it categorizes recalled products as either class 1, 2, 3, or not yet classified.
Big, healthy, husky, fluffy, and damn!
The Quaker Oats Company announced in a press release last month that it had recalled some of its 2-pound boxes of Pearl Milling Company original pancake and waffle mix because the product contained undeclared milk. So let me get this straight. We're recalling a product that contains, quote, undeclared milk. That, in its preparation instructions, calls for milk to be added.
Nice execution.
You're doing terrific.
We're living in an idiocracy, folks. This is as stupid as the recall Costco issued for their grass-fed butter because the fucking label didn't state that it contained milk. Let that sink in for a moment, butter lovers. Where does milk come from, phone boy? I know you're a very avid connoisseur. You eat the shit literally, like slice it off the roll and consume. My God. But tell us, where does butter come from, sir?
A cow.
Jesus fucking Christ. He says a cow, folks. I'm being serious, sir. Where does it come from? Heavy fucking cream. Where does the fucking heavy cream from?
Yes, it's...
Cow tits!
Yes.
Fuckers. It comes from the cream you scrape off the...
It comes from the tits of a camel, okay?
Like, I can't, guys.
It comes from cow titties.
The fact that you have to recall butter because it doesn't say that it contains milk. It makes my head hurt, folks. It really does. I just can't. But you know what? Tired of being stressed out by these assholes. Let's be happy.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Fuck you. Now, this was a nice happy story. A woman in her 90s reunites with a toddler she saved from drowning 64 years ago.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Well, what's with the goosebumps? Well,
look at the title and yes, right here.
Yes, because
the fuck is that about?
That was the lady's reaction. That was the reaction that occurred when these two met up again. So,
okay.
A woman who rescued a drowning toddler from a pool had met him again for just the second time 64 years later. CBS 8 San Diego was live at the reunion organized by the siblings of Ben Colwell, now 66, with his savior Barbara Ribeiro, now 94. Now, she was Barbara Urban back then in 1961 when she made the front page of the San Diego Sentinel. In her 30s, she was attending a party when the word spread through the guests that a baby had vanished. Fanning out to search the neighborhood, she said she doesn't know why she picked the house she did, but it was the right one. Yes, the 21-month-old Colwell had wandered about a block away from the party and fell into the pool. Now, Ribeiro described the scene of Colwell's body down at the bottom of the pool as scary frightening. She jumped in, pulled him out, and performed both mouth-to-mouth and CPR on the instructions of a neighbor who knew how. Though the families kept in touch, it wasn't long before Colwell's family moved out of the San Diego area. Meeting each other for the first time in 64 years, Ribeiro, who warned the TV crew she was liable to cry, welcomed Colwell, saying, "Hello, hello, young man."
"Oh, you must have very big penis."
I'm going straight to hell for that one. Now, a business owner and a father of two, Colwell said it was so nice to see her. "Yeah, the only thing I had ever heard someone say, I think it was my mom telling me that when you guys found me, there wasn't any bubbles coming up. And so no one knew how long I had been down there," said Colwell at the reunion. "And when I really, really think of it, the hand of God," said Ben. "He made sure that I made it out for some reason." Yes, he did.
You're sick.
I'm surprised you didn't notice
that. I can't. I had not read the fucking... God damn it.
I broke Phoenix.
Yes, you did.
Well, you have to go to the... You have to do the next story, you know. This is...
You knew you were going to break me before I had to do this damn story. You suck. You're an evil bastard. So... I can't with you right now. Bad podcaster. Get the spray bottle. Under duress... From bird flu, California farm donates 300,000 eggs to victims of the Palisades fires.
"I can eat 50 eggs.
My boy says he can eat 50 eggs, he can eat 50 eggs.
Yeah, but in how long?
The hour.
So what do you get when you cross some good eggs with a fire? In Los Angeles County, you get much needed relief. In the wake of the Palisades and Altadena fires, and amid continual rising prices for eggs at the supermarket, a California farm has donated 324,000 eggs to victims of the recent wildfires. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. So 54,000 will be given specifically to a charity of chefs and non-profiteers called Gather for Good, which cooks meals for first responders and others directly involved with combating the fires. Another separate donation will be made to Winter Fate Bakers, a Los Angeles bakery that's offered to bake and donate a birthday cake to any child whose family lost a house in the fire.
Fire! 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 Fire!
The idea for the donation didn't come out of times of plenty, but times of want. The 100-year-old family-owned Rosemary Farm in Santa Maria has had its flock of hens devastated by bird flu, but has decided to leverage its sister farm in South Dakota. Wow, that's a fucking long distance, just want to point out, which has remained unaffected to make the donation. It's been a struggle, not only for us as farmers, but for the entire industry, Linda Sampai, who handles marketing for the farm, told USA Today. This flu has taken out so many producers nationwide.
Why does somebody not know how to flush a toilet after they've had a shit?
With all that's happened in LA, we believe in community and in giving back. There's no greater time of need than right now for Southern California residents. The more than 300,000 eggs will be transported aboard refrigerated trucks and sent to LA Food Bank, which will oversee their distribution among the fire victims. I'm going to be a twat for a moment. Like, y'all aren't used to that. You've lost your fucking house. Where are you cooking these eggs? You gonna go to the fucking site of your rubble? Toast them over the fucking smoldering ashes of your house? What the fuck? Sorry, just had to get that out. I mean, I appreciate that they're donating them to places that are going to use them to feed people. Why isn't that the whole donation? Like, if you have a way to cook them, great. But sending them to food banks, not all those eggs are going to fire victims, I assure you. Just want to point that out as well. There I go, bringing logic into the conversation.
Yeah, well, you know what's also not logical is the
cavalcade of stupidity.
Yeah, which is right here from Rev Cybertracker. Here we go.
Hi-de-ho, pedalheads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertracker's Cavalcade of Stupidity.
Stuart Mitchell, known professionally as Haywood Banks, is an American comedian, writer, and performer of humorous songs. In 1988, he won the Johnny Walker Comedy Search National Finals, which gave him a television appearance on A&E's An Evening at the Improv. And later the same year, he won the Miller Lite Comedy Search Regional Finals, held in Clinton Township, Michigan. With songs like Toast, Fly's Eyes, Wiper Blades, The One I Love, and The Cat Got Dead, it's no wonder that he frequently appears on the nationally syndicated radio program The Bob and Tom Show, as well as Dr. Demento. Recorded live on The Bob and Tom Show in 2018, this is Haywood Banks. Taser her again.
You might hear bits of conversation as you pass through public places. Some loud talker on a cell phone or a tiff at the next table. Most washed by and not remembered, but one evening last December, I passed two women talking by the front door of my hotel. I stopped and thanked them by the curb the moment that I heard their words, and said it was the finest line of eavesdrop I'd ever overheard. Their words stuck inside my head, so I wrote down the words they said. And with a hotel pen, I wrote then they had to taser her again. 'Cause then they had to taser her. First time wasn't fazing her. Whatever she did it twice. Who was this gal? Why weren't she nice? They zapped her once. She improvised a twitchy breakdance jazzercise. Didn't get the hint, cause then they had to taser her again. These swirling words did not relent. Speculating about this incident.
Well, there you go. All right.
It's seriously twisted and sounds like some shit somebody would have wrote about me. Now, in fairness, I've never been arrested. Not that I have never been in handcuffs. I've just never been arrested.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, all right. Well, and each week you do rideshare, you manage to not get arrested. So that's a good thing.
That's a fucking miracle. Oh, it is a miracle, especially after some of the fucking drives that I've had to endure over the last few weeks. It's amazing. I've been able to keep my job and my composure. This week did not. We had two snow days that kept me from being able to go out and make money because I just value my car more than I value that almighty dollar. And if I fuck up my car, I have no way to make those almighty dollars. So yeah, sometimes you have to take a knee for the greater good. But I did have an interesting conversation with a rider, a young lady, who I have heard this story as far as the I'm glad you're a woman, because a lot of females feel much safer when they have a female driver because men are creepy. And in that sentiment, she was telling me a story about an Uber driver who was asking her for her phone number and was saying how he and his wife like to, you know, go out and kind of get a little strange on the side, and how, you know, the only way to be a good wife is to be submissive. I'm like, please tell me you reported this fucking scumbag. She was like, no, I was afraid because he knew where I lived. And unfortunately, the ride was too short for me to completely melt my face off and nicely tell her, like, no, like, this is why we have cops, not to be a bootlicker, but sometimes, you know, they can be used to your advantage. Like, no, there's just, I mean, you guys heard me talk about the girl whose Uber driver insisted that she show him identification to prove she was of age and then ended up having her account deactivated because he reported her as underage. There's so many pieces of shit out there. And one of the other problems, and this is a thing that I think I've ranted on before, we are required to have a photo of us so the passenger knows that they have the right driver. We're required to have our legal name. I have to have my identification submitted to them, which I understand it's a driving position. I get it. But I have to literally periodically take a photograph of my face to prove this is my account. Yet you can have any fucking photo on your account that you want. You can have any retarded ass name.
Or you can have somebody else request the ride. Well,
no, I don't have a problem with somebody else requesting the ride. Matter of fact, I've had that a few times. Okay. And we even had that with Phoenix Jr.
That was, by the way, you getting to see you know, because I did that.
Yeah, getting to see the other side of how that looks.
Yeah, because you've never actually, because I don't think you've actually used the actual rideshare app that
in a very long time, and they've made a lot of updates to the GUI. So yeah. The thing is this, though. Okay, the problem I have is I am forced to have my legal name, my photograph on this app, so you can ensure that I am your driver. But you can have Dick Drivel 76 as your fucking name, you know, with some, you know, picture of a penis hopping around, and that's perfectly fucking fine. Now, obviously, I'm being slightly exaggeratory because I'm sure that they would not allow penis pictures on Uber apps. But my point is, if I have to have my legal name and my photograph to prove I'm me, your ass had better have to have your legal name or the legal name of the person requesting the ride for you, because there needs to be verifiability. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why I'm very adamant about this. Not only my own safety, but the safety of the riders, because there was a girl who apparently was rather tipsy and had called an Uber. She asked the guy, are you here for so-and-so? And he's like, yep. She gets in his car. He fucking abducts her, rapes her, and kills her. Yeah. That's what the fuck we're going on. Because you're drunk, you see a sign, you didn't pay attention to the car, you know, description, driver description, whatever, and some predator is out there, and you're got. He had child locks on his car, so she couldn't get out. Okay, this is the shit that really happens. This is why I have girls saying, my God, I'm so glad that you're a female. And, you know, I often joke with people, but I'm also, you know, serious about the fact I don't give a fuck about you people enough. Get in my car. I will get you safely to your destination. I have no interest in being a fake ass rideshare driver who's going to kidnap, assault, or otherwise. I am probably the least threatening person out there. Even if I'm carrying my 9mm on my hip, it's for my safety, not your threat. Unless you become a threat, you're perfectly safe with me, maybe even more so. Because if an outside threat were to threaten us, I got you. But the point of the matter is, there's some fucked up shit out there. And I wish Uber and Lyft would listen to us drivers. The shit we talk to them about, the stuff that actually matters, goes in one ear and out the other. They're more interested in stupid things like people being able to bring their fucking emotional support animals with them and get that fur all over my back seat. But I'm not going to have a shit fit about it. I just wanted to put that out there. Always make sure if you're taking rideshare that you have them tell you what the name is on the account, or make sure that you've checked that the car color, the Uber driver, make sure everything matches, guys. Yeah, it annoys me sometimes when people check my license plate only because of the fact that you can clearly see my face. You can clearly see the color of my car. That is, you've already got two things just looking at the app. My picture and a picture of what my car looks like. If both those match, why do you feel it necessary to check that license plate? But you know what? Okay, you do. That's fine. I'm going to give you that because I want everybody to go home safe at the end of the day. That is my mission. That is what I often tell people, is that when I drove a truck and continued into my rideshare daily, okay, this is a game. We're all out there on the road playing the same game, which is get from destination A to destination B safely, and then back to home base. Once you're back to home base, you won for the day. We all want to win. So let's all cooperate with each other so we can all win and get home safely. Just saying. I think it's time to lighten things up. Let's jam, baby.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun, and I'm having fun, and I know you know I got no special plans.
Special plans!
Yeah, well, it is time for you all to go off on our yay or nay topic, which is actually more of a question about Girl Scout cookies. Right?
What's your favorite one?
Yeah, 253-237-3321. And so, what did you... Well, honey, there's something cooking. What's cooking?
I'm making, like, actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
Yeah, Denny's couldn't hold a candle to what the fuck I'm made. And it's actually... I guess you could consider it a leftover if you wanted to be completely analytical. Because the prep work was done on Thursday.
Yeah, during one of our snow days, we
right, because Wednesday and Thursday was snow days, and we'll talk about that. But I put together the meat because there's we're having chili, and it is actually a carne asada chili where I have taken the carne asada I had, pressure cooked it so it's nice and tender, and pulled it apart, threw it in the chili. Then we got some ground beef in there, the veggies. And, of course, I used dried beans, so I had to pressure cook them with all the yummy spices and whatnot. I highly advise this, y'all. Get an Instapot, one of those Ninja Foodies like we've got. They're worth the money. They do so many things. And, honestly, I took dried beans and within an hour had beans that were viable to use in this chili. Now, I kind of shortchanged it. I cooked them for about 30 to 40 minutes collectively, and then the 8-hour cook in the crock pot that it got the beans the rest of the way cooked. But there's ground beef, carne asada, peppers, onions, tomato, and spices. It's going to be, oh yeah, and the red kidney beans. So it's going to be absolutely
It's like an orgy in my mouth, and everybody's coming.
And it was
it's an orgy.
And I had
Got it
last night. So
You just stepped on my clip. You did.
Okay.
Stepped all over me. I feel violated.
Yeah, well, yeah, Mother Nature is off her fucking meds, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God. Yes. Unfortunately, the snow day thing was not beneficial to my pocketbook.
No.
Like, I knew, here's the thing, everybody knew Wednesday was going to be a wash. We knew the snow was coming in. We knew it was going to impact everything. There was the pre-treater trucks out everywhere. So
yeah,
they
did a pretty decent job, all things considered.
Yeah, oh yeah, they absolutely did.
Yeah, they had there was not that much, and they did enough to actually counteract it. So when the sun came out, it was all the streets kind of melted, and so it was actually not terrible to try and get around. However, you know. Then they, of course, then we get a little bit more snow than they expect. And
well,
you know,
it was also the fact that it was like, okay, it's going to be a one-off. Wednesday's going to be a knee. Do some schoolwork, catch up on some stuff because, you know, the assignments never stop coming. And so Thursday morning, now I had giggled because, of course, they had canceled classes for Wednesday. Like, yeah, well, no shit. You know, who the hell wants to go out in the snow? Nobody. I get up Thursday morning. Now, I have to be up at 6 o'clock local time in order to be to class by 9:30 because it's in Eastern and I'm in Central. So it's an hour ahead of where I'm at. So I'm actually getting up at 7 o'clock in the time zone I have my class. Long story short, I get up and phone boy, of course, woke up as well, looks out the blinds and he's like, it's snowing. I'm like, shut the fuck up. No, 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 no. I'm like, how bad? He's like, well... And he pulls the blinds aside, and I'm like, fuck. I'm like, you know, I'm not totally sure that I want to drive in that. I'm just not really sure. Because my partner had already told me that he wasn't going to be in that day. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be on my own. That's fine. I don't need a handhold. I have a fantastic lab partner, but I also am okay to stand on my own 2 feet. So long story short, I'm contemplating whether or not I want to actually go into school. I don't want to miss time, but at the same time, yeah, I'm not really wanting to risk me, and the snow is all over the roads. About maybe a hot minute later, I get an email that they've closed the classes for the day. I'm like, thank God I don't have to miss a day where it's not sanctioned. So it was kind of nice to have 2 days off as snow days, but it also kind of bit the weenie because, yeah, it financially is a kick in the head when you think you're gonna have a little extra leg room and then you end up getting kneecapped, you know, by Mother Nature. It's a bitch.
Well, yeah, then you started trying to work on some of the schoolwork and decided to
my platform totally decided like nope, it would let me print stuff out, it would let me watch videos, it would not let me take any practice questions. Like, it wouldn't let me do any practice questions. It wouldn't let me do any labs. So basically anything that had to be graded, if you will, pass or fail, whatever, it was not allowing. Telling me I was having network issues, and it wasn't just one class. It was truly platform-wide because I have two separate classes that use the same platform and two different ways to access that platform. And both of them were basically giving me the, nah, not today. So unfortunately, that I was getting ahead. So I'm not really behind necessarily. I may have to do a little extra work. I'll have to relook.
Yeah.
But long story short, like the snow day was a real Lulu for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't affect me that much, but and actually with things going on, this week was kind of, well, I had stuff to do this week, but it was actually kind of a quiet week, so it was kind of good to have to take some time, because yeah, the next week's going to be pretty rough.
Yes,
so.
I'm pouting because Phone Boy is leaving for Vegas tomorrow without me, and I'm angry, and I'm hurt, and I'm spiteful about it, and...
No, I know.
Yeah, it fucking sucks.
Yeah, it does, but it is, but yes, unfortunately, the show must go on, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. I'm seeing voicemails come in. We actually.
Oh my goodness!
Look at all of this.
We have
lots of voicemails coming in. In fact,
I love this.
I think because I don't think we had anything else in the toast and jam. It was basically snow days, and yeah, we kind of. I think everything else was kind of behind the mic sort of stuff. So I don't think there's much we need to say in toast and jam. So I guess should we?
Yeah, it's been a pretty slow week, well, all in all, I think.
Yeah, I think so. But you know what? It's probably time to...
It's time to hear about some Girl Scout cookies. I'm getting the munchies.
The world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
To 253-237-3321. Now, we did also get a couple of texts in. Now, I'm filtering the list here in the script, honey, because I can see who's called. Mm-hmm. So Tigger weighed in and said that her favorite Girl Scout cookies are the Tagalongs and the Thin Mints. Rev also weighed in, and he said Thin Mints. So let's see what some of the other...
Well, hold on, because we do have another submission via text from my oldest, who said Thin Mints or the Lemon Glazed ones.
That's it. That's...
He has not weighed in on behalf of his grandmother yet.
Okay.
I suspect he will let her know, and they will get back to us at some point here before the segment is over. Otherwise, fuck it. We won't know what kind of Girl Scout cookies the matriarch likes.
But you know, we also have the last call segment. So as long as it's before the last call. So anyway, let's see what this caller has to say.
Yeah. It's a Friday, ladies and gentlemen, the weekend. Hello, fun boy. Hello, Phoenix. Just waiting for the wifey, and then we're going to go do a family dinner with my side of the family. So, huzzah. Anywho, let's see. We'll ask Grok to, is it going to work with me on the phone? I guess I cannot do the voice thing. What are the most... Real life, folks, real life. Popular Girl Scout cookies. ? Let's see, what's the most popular here? Thin Mints, Samoas, Caramel Delights, Peanut Butter Patties, Adventurefuls, Doozy. I mean, I've had some of these. Like, maybe the Samoas? But I don't have a go-to. The answer is that I don't have a go-to Girl Scout cookie. I don't think I've ever bought Girl Scout cookies. Pretty much just like somebody buy them because they walked out the grocery store or something and have a couple or something like that. So remember, friend's mom would buy them sometimes when we're kids. But yeah, I don't have a go-to. I'd just go buy a bag of chips instead of a box of cookies, personally. So. Yeah, that's how it goes. So, but that's an answer, right? It's an answer. So, all right, I love you guys. Stay dangerous. And whether or not the cat's wanting to jump on your back, or it's just cleaning itself on the cat tree, go ahead and give a hotty. Caw-caw!
Caw-caw! Thank you, Mr. Christopher Battles. And you know what? I agree with you. Nobody should be eating these damn cookies. So good on you for not eating them. Like we talked about a couple weeks ago, the... lead, the the cadmium, the Roundup chemical, like do not eat these things. Let's find out what other pedalheads think of their Girl Scout cookies.
Favorite Girl Scout cookie, it's a tie between Thin Mints and the ones with the creamy peanut butter in them. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. Love y'all, bye.
Yeah, it sounds like a Tigger vote because it's Tagalongs and the Thin Mints, I think, is it?
Yeah, that was what she had said. Did we read the? Yeah, we read the weigh-ins.
Yes,
from
we did.
Text message. Yeah.
This is one that was a text message that I figured we'd just play the actual.
Oh, you know, I'm great with that, but yeah. So I think that's actually two. I think that would be two votes. For Tagalongs and Thin Mints.
Yeah, there you go. Well, but Thin Mints seem to be definitely a winning here.
Yes.
Hey, y'all. Girl Scout cookies, my choice would be Thin Mints and Lemon Ups. Those would be the two that I go for if I were to get Girl Scout cookies. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Wookie. And actually, I had talked to her earlier. She claimed she bought a couple of boxes of Thin Mints, and then I reminded her about all of the horrible stuff that's in them, and she was like, maybe I'll bring them to work and just whoever wants them. I'm like, girl, those things are expensive as hell. Like, I had a very financially visceral reaction to her just bringing those expensive-ass boxes of crack cookies into work and leaving them on a table for whoever wanted them. Like, I cringed a little bit. I don't know.
No, let's see what this pedalhead has to say, this time with a mute button that is not working.
Lotus Tech Tip.
Phoenix and Homeboy. And everyone in attendance. Girl Scout cookies. I really like the, are they Caramel Dreams or are they Caramel Delights or whatever? We're sitting here debating on it. The ones that have the little shavings of coconut with the caramel and the chocolate backing, those are
samosas, by the way.
And then it's thin mint, and then shortbreads. Don't much care for the peanut butter ones. I just don't really. Yeah. Do they have peanut butter ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they had peanut butter ones. I don't much care for the peanut butter ones. The lemon ones? Oh, the lemon ones are all right. You're crazy. They're all right. They're not on the list, but they're okay as far as, like, lemon pledge shortbread goes. So, but they're all poisonous, toxic. So, yeah, that's the thing that came out this year, this article, or was it last year, that every package of Thin Mint, or Thin Mint, every package of Girl Scout cookies that were tested positive for PFAs and forever chemicals, which is, you know, I mean, if you want to live forever, you should honestly just replace as much of your biology as you can with forever chemicals, and then you can just be forever. You know, like, if I preserve myself now, then I'm just less likely to die, because that's science. Yeah, that's science. I'm calling that science. And that's how we do it. We're gonna live forever from Girl Scout cookies. That is the new fountain of youth, is the PFAs in Girl Scout cookies. Oh, and we're gonna scratch them across the bottom of our nonstick pan first before we eat them. That way we get a little extra and make your bones strong. You get a little extra, iron and Teflon and all that good shit. Yeah, make your bones real strong, you know. Wolverine used adamantium. I'm just going to use Teflon. It's a little cheaper, I'm sure. So, okay, bye.
Science!
Science! Yeah, thank you, weirdo, for weighing in on that. We're with you, man. The Samoas all the way. Like, if I want to die and get all those forever chemicals and those heavy metals and all that shit, yeah, I'll destroy some Samoas. How about you, phone boy?
Yeah, pretty much. That's the one I went, yeah, those are the ones that are the most dangerous.
Yeah, they truly are. Although I do like the shortbreads, like a tall glass of ice cold milk and some of those shortbreads with the two thumbs up symbol that's supposed to look like girls or some bullshit. Like, okay, after this next voicemail, I'm gonna have a fucking rant. Just be prepared. There's a Phoenix Girl Scout rant incoming.
Okay, well, after this pedalhead weighs in.
Oh, I am all about the Thin Mints, baby. Oh, yeah. Crush them up, put them in a blender with some mint chocolate chip ice cream. Oh, God, the fat girl in me squeals like you wouldn't believe. But it's hot, fresh garbage, and now we know that it's got more than just regular hot, fresh garbage in it. So, hard pass. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you so much, Dame Jennifer. You got me fucked up putting Thin Mints and mint chocolate chip ice cream in a blender. I'm having a fat kid oh moment. You'll have to excuse me. It's a little personal. I can't disagree. That sounds really delicious. Anyone who likes a thin mint and also mint chocolate chip ice cream is also probably licking their speakers right now. So I'm sure that they appreciate you for that. So I promised you all a rant, and I'm going to give you all a rant. Now, it's not going to be a normal rant. Who am I kidding? Yes, it fucking is. Here's a problem. Above and beyond the heavy metals and the Monsanto chemicals and the PFAs and all that shit that's being found in these cookies, okay? These girls, they're going out there and they're busting their... They're selling thousands upon thousands of dollars of these little crack cookies, okay? And it's the petition. Which troop can sell the most? You see the little crack dealers outside your grocery stores every single what?
Yeah, I can see. This is the one thing the DJ Lotus actually gives you is the fact that we dropped for a few seconds. Yes. So
okay. Well, we're back now, though.
Yeah, we are. Yes. This is why it's this is it's,
okay. So, well, so, I don't know how much of my
yeah you didn't
rant.
Miss that much. It was only like a second or two. But all right, let me. But let me do this real quick. Let me see if that actually works.
What the virtual?
Did that actually come across? Let's see. I don't know if it did or not.
That was a Dame Bemrose from like a week or two ago.
Yeah, there was a Dame Bemrose from a week or two ago, but for some reason, I think it... Let me try that.
No one is hollering that we're not on the stream now,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, I know. Well, we weren't on the stream, yeah, but I was trying to see if it was... Oh, I'm going to actually turn this down to see if it'll actually play over the stream here. Just... Now, it may have, but it didn't go over the stream very well. All right, anyway, well, that's something I'll figure out later. All right, so...
Really, you interrupted my important rant for that?
Well, because the stream interrupted your important rant.
Well, fuck you and the stream.
Fuck you!
Right, so go
but
on.
That being said, all right, here's the thing, guys. Okay. Little girls with their little bright eyes, their hopes and dreams, their little green outstashes, they're all bought in to the... They're all bought in on the fact that they're doing good and they're part of the community. And they sell all these boxes of crack to y'all outside your local grocery store because they have this dream of going to scout camp. And the sad part is these troops sell thousands upon thousands of dollars of these deadly cookies every year. And yet the most reward they ever get is 50 measly fucking dollars toward going to this camp, which I assure you is much more than just $50 to attend it. Meanwhile, the Gay Scouts of America, yeah, they're making money hand over fist on these toxic cookies.
Yeah, well,
while selling this dream to these little girls that if you sell all these cookies, you'll get a discount and you might get to go to camp for free.
What a virtual fuck!
There we go. I think that actually went over the stream this time. Okay.
No one ever gets to actually go to camp for free. Now, if anyone out there knows of a Girl Scout who has sold so many cookies that her troop or the individual salesperson that has sold the most has gone to camp for free, please send me some feedback and tell me that I'm wrong. But all that I have known is that these girls work tirelessly to sell these cookies to people, one, not knowing that they're poisoning the population, but two, with hope and dream of lessening the cost to go to camp, only to find out the most award that they get is a whole $50 off. It's fucking gross. Please, for your health and sanity, and also to make a huge statement to this corrupt-ass organization that is profiting off of the broken hopes and dreams of these little girls, please don't buy Girl Scout cookies this year or any year in the future. That's all I have to say about it. Let's get high, motherfuckers.
I'll take a drink, and my name's Smoke Little Reef. You know, I like to smoke reefer. You know, it relaxes me and everything. A couple of doobies, you know, just to get you through the day and everything, but I do not freebase cocaine.
That's right. We do not freebase cocaine around here. However, we do enjoy a little bit of the good herb, and we also enjoy a little bit of this right here because this psychedelic church is handing out magic mushrooms to hundreds of members for free. Yes, really.
And you just had some kind of mushroom, and your mind is
people who attend the Psychedelic Church of Colorado Springs have the choice to supercharge their spiritual experience. After a safety lecture, members may consume magic mushrooms whose psychedelic ingredient, psilocybin, can cause hallucinations and altered perceptions. Members can take the mushrooms at church, church events, such as a course on learning to grow shrooms, or even at home. The doses available range from micro doses of 0.5 grams up to 1.5 grams, according to the church's website. At the maximum dose, users can expect to hallucinate with their eyes open or closed, see vivid colors, and have distracted thought patterns, according to the website. Now, open since February of 2024, the church hosts more than 300 boasts, I should say, more than 300 members in an El Paso County house. Its founder, Benji Dezaval, says the psilocybin offering is legal under a 2023 Colorado law that decriminalized consumption of, quote, natural medicines. This includes the use of psilocybin and DMT. The law regulates natural medicine and its related products and businesses, including the healing centers, cultivators, manufacturers, and testers, and sets up a natural medicine division that issues licenses for such uses.
We got sugar companies, pharmaceutical companies, and insurance companies all just trying to figure out how to make money off of our fucking health.
That's right. And meanwhile, something like magic mushrooms and marijuana can do just that without those corrupt ass medical drug dealers we all call doctors and those shitty insurance companies. So Dezaval says the church is legally compliant and that all the neighbors except for one found it acceptable. The El Paso County Sheriff's Office was also aware of plans to open the church, according to Colorado Springs Channel 11 KKTV News. I'm not trying to be this mindless hippie who just wants to do what I want to do at the expense of others. I'm trying to help people, Dezaval tells Channel 11. Magic mushrooms are available as gifts and are not for sale, according to the news report, which includes footage of Dezaval's basement dispensary. Just as a church with sacramental wine, it's not a liquor store. We're not in the business of selling any natural medicines, the church website states. We are a spiritual community that sees the benefits natural medicines offer and wants to make them accessible to everyone. When we're at our healthiest, mind and soul, we can provide more love and light to all around us.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
The church honors the three universal truths rather than a deity, Dezaval said in a video interview, and the psilocybin uplifts this spiritual foundation. These truths are reverse the self, embrace the communal experience, and the universe provides. Wow, that's kind of wild. Hold up. I hadn't read that before. We say that all the time.
Well, revere, by the way, it's revere the self, which is...
Revere? I'm sorry.
Yeah, honor yourself, right?
Right.
Yeah, embrace. Yeah, and I think that is actually not that different from what you and I basically say, right?
Which is, no, so maybe we'll have to go to one of these services, man.
Yeah. We're planning to do another road trip here at some point.
We are. We are. Now, the church also offers its members a form of DMT, a potent hallucinogenic drug. Those who choose to take it must do so on site only, Dezaval said. Animals produce DMT in the brain naturally, but scientists have found that at the point of death, the brain's production of this neurochemical goes into overdrive, which could explain the weird sensations and visions humans report after near-death experiences.
I'm getting better!
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
In Colorado Springs, members of the psychedelic church don't have to take magic mushrooms or DMT if they choose not to. For member Ryan Lummer, the atmosphere at church isn't chaotic, as some people might expect. He tells Channel 11, "You'd think that you'd come here and people have their pupils wrapped around their foreheads and everybody's tripping. It's far from that. all the times I've come here, I've never had that kind of experience. And that's, I have to agree with what this man is saying. For those who don't understand what a mushroom trip, especially at a 1.5, it's not that heavy. Now, you talk a god dose at a 5 like you did. Now, that's some heavy shit.
Oh, yeah. Not
a 1.5? Yeah, you might see some nice light anomalies. Some stuff might shift a little in your vision. You know, you might have, you know, if you're in that mindset, you might have a spiritual vision. You might see Jesus or the Virgin Mary or something like that. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not possible. But for people to think that when you're on mushrooms, you're just all like, wah, wah, blah, it's not like that, guys. It's really not. Oh my God! You,
my whole stomach was.
You have a. By the way, A, you were on mute, and B, you have a very sensitive stomach. Okay.
Embrace the cookie cancer.
I believe, Steed.
Yes, I think.
Oh God! No, I will never embrace the cookie cancer.
However, I'm going to write down cookie cancer. Pushers. I'm writing cookie cancer as a potential
cookie,
show.
Cookie cancer, cookie pushers.
Yeah,
that's a whole statement right there.
Yes.
Okay. But no, seriously, like, it. Don't fear the shroom, folks.
Yeah.
Well, a 1.5 dose isn't even that significant, like I said. And yeah, you have a really hair trigger, dude. Like, little things that would not make normal people yak, you're losing your stomach in the bathroom. So yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised that the 5. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, shrooms, they'll give you a solid stomach ache. Not going to lie, because your body knows that that shit is technically poison.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, I'll tell you that, yeah, I mean, like I said, that I don't regret having done that dose. But yeah, I mean, during that time, let's see, I was, I thought I was inside of a Mario video game. I closed my eyes and said, I'm not doing that again. because of what I was seeing, I'm like, no.
We found what over there
yes.
was about.
Yes, exactly. Well, now... Of course, I think speaking of over there, I'm glad I don't live over there. We're talking about the state of Idaho, where they're trying to create a steep minimum fine for marijuana possession. It's just one step away from becoming law.
Breaking the law! Breaking the law!
Yes, the Idaho legislature's ongoing battle with a drug that's already legal got another dose of support this week. Or that's already illegal, yes. A bill to mandate $300 minimum fines for low-level marijuana possession took another step toward becoming law Tuesday. The same day, a House committee introduced a proposal to ban all cannabis advertising in the state.
Dumbass.
House Bill number 7, sponsored by Representative Bruce Schnog of Nampa, Republican, would make the minimum fine for possessing even a small amount of marijuana higher than almost any other misdemeanor in Idaho, including a number of violent crimes such as assault, battery, domestic violence, and attempted strangulation. The bill mandates that anyone 18 or older pay no less than a $300 fine for misdemeanor marijuana possession. Yes. Skog, who co-sponsored the bill with...
Sentencing?
Oh, yes. Sentencing guidelines for misdemeanors in Idaho are generally up to $1,000 in penalties and up to a year in jail, but judges have the discretion to impose a range of penalties. Defendants must also generally pay for court costs and fees related to their case, which are separate from a fine and typically total hundreds of dollars. Now, almost every state...
Skog.
Yeah, and Skog, yes, I keep jumping. I keep jumping. Yes, because nope. I see that nope, and I'm just not there yet. Shog, who co-sponsored the bill with Rep. Jordan Redmond of Coeur d'Alene, said at a public hearing for the bill last month that we don't want this to become a marijuana state.
No.
Yeah, well, it's in this story for sure. Now, almost every state surrounding Idaho is legalization of some sort, whether it's for medical and recreational cannabis, such as Oregon, Washington, Nevada, and Montana, or just medical, Utah. In fact, Idaho joins only Wyoming, South Carolina, and Kansas as states where it is fully illegal. Now, meanwhile, Idaho is trying to ban marijuana ads for dispensaries in neighboring states. Yeah, good luck with that, Idaho.
Yeah, let me know how that works out for you. I'm sure other states are going to be like, these nuts. The amount of revenue that the neighboring states are making off of the good herb while Idaho sits there like the penis-looking state that it... Have you ever noticed that? Idaho looks like a cock and balls. Because it really is. Because they're butt-fucking their residents by not... I'm just not... A Phoenix rant will occur if I keep going. So I think we should probably turn things on and off again.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Have you tried sticking it up your arse?
I'm telling you, these people in Idaho have it up their arse. But Apple is pulling iCloud end-to-end encryption feature in the UK.
Everything was revealed. The secret of the perfect hack.
The UK is absolutely out of their fucking minds. Where's my fuck the EU clip? Apple will no longer offer iCloud end-to-end encryption in the UK after the government requested a backdoor to access Apple customers' encrypted cloud data. Now, as Apple told Bleeping Computer on Friday, the optional Advanced Data Protection, ADP, feature introduced in December 2022 will no longer be available for new users in the UK starting today.
What do I do, oh guru of computer wisdom?
This decision follows a secret order from the United Kingdom government demanding that Apple create a backdoor that would provide access to the unencrypted data of any Apple user worldwide. ADP protects iCloud data with end-to-end encryption, which means the data can only be decrypted by the user who owns it, and only on their trusted devices. We are gravely disappointed that the protections provided by ADP will not be available to customers in the UK given the continuing rise of data breaches and other threats to customer privacy, the company told Bleeping Computer. Enhancing the security of cloud storage with end-to-end encryption is more urgent than ever before. Apple remains committed to bringing our users the highest level of security for their personal data and are hopeful that we will be able to do so in the future in the United Kingdom. And I won't back down. On its government information requests page, the company says it, quote, never created a backdoor or master key, end quote, to any of its products or services, never allowed any government direct access to Apple servers, and never will. Those trying to access and enable the feature will see the following message. Apple can no longer offer advanced data protection in the United Kingdom to new users.
Access denied.
While the company can't disable ADP for current ADP users in the UK, they will eventually be required to disable it to keep using their iCloud account using guidance provided by Apple over the coming weeks or days. Apple's communication services, iMessage and FaceTime, and health and iCloud keychain data will remain end-to-end encrypted, including in the UK. Apple says the ADP continues to be available for customers worldwide who can enable it to ensure that their encrypted iCloud data can only be decrypted on trusted devices.
I mean, can we trust him?
This is ridiculous. This is overreach in a big way by the UK. Are we surprised by this? No, but we're still sickened by it because you should not have to jeopardize your cybersecurity to be able to have your phone. And just this is gross. This is another one of those things when it comes to the EU and things like that. When you want to people over, this is you this first.
Well, this isn't the this is the UK, which is not part of the EU any longer.
So. Oh, that's right. They did separate.
Yeah.
But the mentality is still the same.
Yeah,
if you want to fuck people over, we say you first. You lose your ADP first. You get your ass breached and pwned. You first.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, here's a question that kind of, well, actually, it doesn't surprise me as to why. But if COBOL is such a problematic language, which apparently, according to somebody, why does the U.S. government still use it?
It just changes the way that we access those vulnerabilities.
I actually have an answer to that because I actually know that they are moving away from COBOL and moving to Rust.
Okay, well, not so fast. So COBOL, or Common Business Oriented Language, was developed in the 1950s and has become a critical component of the Social Security Administration's IT infrastructure. The SSA mains over 60 million lines of COBOL code, which powers its core business functions, including processing retirement and disability claims. Now, one of COBOL's peculiarities is its lack of a standardized way to store and work with dates. This limitation has led to programmers making up ways in government databases to represent dates. This also meant they came up with the use of placeholder dates for unknown information.
Really?
Now, according to Manjeet Rajay, the data scientist and software engineering professor at the University of St. Thomas School of Engineering, one of the most common placeholder dates is May 20th, 1875. Now, why that date exactly? Because that's the beginning of time according to the ISO 8601 time and date standard. Now, you may well ask yourself why the standard makers picked that seemingly arbitrary date. Well, the answer isn't really arbitrary at all. It's just obscure. It's the anniversary of the International Bureau of Weight and Measure's creation date, a.k.a. the metric system.
No offense, but it sounds like some fucking commie gobbledygook.
Yeah, it is. Now, what that means in practice is that at least in some cases, if someone applies for Social Security without a birth date, they'd automatically be assigned a birth date of May 20th, 1875, which is how we end up with 149-year-old senior citizens. Now, of course, the author of this article provides no proof that this is actually the actual reason for this and claims the SSA actually checks to make sure they're not sending checks to anyone who isn't over 115 years old.
You know you can't go back on a pinky promise.
Never did, never will.
Yeah, well, I don't know that they pinky promised anything. But COBOL, you see, may be old, but it's far from dead. And according to the Government Accounting Office, or the GAO, numerous vital government systems still rely on legacy software and hardware. Now, some of these systems are more than 50 years old. These archaic systems include ones for the Department of Education for tracking students, the Department of Health and Human Services, Clinical and Patient Administration, and Medicare and Medical Services still use COBOL-based systems for critical operations.
It works perfectly.
Now, last but not least, the Internal Revenue Service still uses COBOL for some of its critical systems. Altogether, the IRS still relies on approximately 160 COBOL applications. At the IRS's heart is every taxpayer's individual master file. This is written not just in COBOL, but IBM Assembler as well. This is in no way, shape, or form easy code to work with. Complicating matters further, you know, as if the tax code itself wasn't complicated, right? The IRS uses multiple versions of COBOL, including IBM COBOL for OS 390 and NVM, IBM Enterprise COBOL for ZOS, and Micro Focus Visual COBOL for Eclipse. Now, you might think that IMF, which dates back to the early 1960s, is the oldest computer system. Now, you'd actually be wrong. The Department of Defense's Computerized Contact Management System, Mechanization of Contract Administration Services, or MOCAS, is still with us after almost 67 years of service. That's even older than the official release of COBOL itself. MOCAS was written in beta COBOL. So, in theory, the IMF was to be replaced by 2028. That was before DOGE cut 6,000 IRS employees out of the government's agencies, approximately 82,990 employees.
Oh, bitch.
Now, you might think the problem isn't limited to the federal government. Now, 45 of the 50 states of the District of Columbia still run COBOL systems. Many of you may remember when COVID first hit that you couldn't get unemployment checks. Well, more than likely, your money was delayed because of an overburdened COBOL-based unemployment program. None of this is COBOL's fault. It may be old, but COBOL is still useful. Indeed, when you get cash from an ATM, 95% of the time you're interacting with a COBOL program. Behind them, 43% of banking systems are written in COBOL, and 90% of banks still use some old COBOL somewhere. It's not just banks. Insurance companies also rely on COBOL. This old programming language will not be leaving us this decade, maybe not this century.
One eternity later.
And it's not so much that COBOL itself is bad, it's not. COBOL excels at efficiently processing large volumes of business data. Its syntax and structure are optimized for data manipulation and batch processing tasks. The language is also great at organizing data and indexing it for fast, efficient operations. The result is a language that excels at data accuracy and reliability. That last quality has extended COBOL's life for decades.
This is going to keep going.
So the problem for the government's COBOL-based programs boils down to the fact that there's never been enough funding to update the legacy code. But seriously, the code fucking works. Why replace it?
Because it's fucking clunky, cumbersome. I guarantee you, now that people know that COBOL is what the government is using, popcorn.gif, let's watch all the hacking attempts start flooding in. Just saying. Knock, knock, who's there? COBOL vulnerability. Oh, come right in.
Well, you know, COBOL does. Yeah, but COBOL itself is probably not nearly as bad as it is some of the. Yeah, they
oh, I don't disagree. Okay. Yeah. But that's not the point. The point is, stop. This is government wide. Stop being fucking antiquated. Anybody out there who disagrees with the fact that Trump has absolutely gone in with Doge and swung his big dick energy around and started looking for a lot of unnecessary spending to try to get our country back on its feet? Absolute respect to 47. Sorry if you have TDS, but I don't hate what the man is doing. I really don't.
Well, let's go to the drink drawer, shall we?
Humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems, like garbage, which had been stacked for centuries.
Yeah, well, and apparently, I don't know what happened with this particular this dude, but he's a Tri-City man, and this is Tri-Cities, Washington, which is why I'm reading this story for whatever reason. Anyway, there's a 56-year-old Tri-City man that's ID'd as a fire victim in a Richland Park portable toilet.
This is absolutely the worst fire I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, a 56-year-old man appears to have died from the smoke from a fire intentionally set in a portable toilet in a Richland Park. Rick A. Scott, a West Richland HVAC business owner, was identified as the man found at about 10:30 a.m. Wednesday morning after someone spotted a fire at the Charma Natural Preserve, said Benton County Coroner Bill Leach.
Move on! Nothing to see here! Please disperse! Nothing to see here! Please!
Now, the initial results of Friday's autopsy showed that he likely died from smoke inhalation rather than burns. The Washington State Patrol Toxicology Lab will be making some tests to confirm that, he said. Now, investigators say that Scott appeared inside appeared to set the fire inside the toilet. Gasoline and a propane torch were found inside.
Hold on a sec, guys. I gotta go reapply my burn lotion on my junk.
Yeah, more burn lotion than you can have there, I think. But now the Chanma Preserve is a 276-acre park with 11 miles of trails that sits on the southern edge of Richland near the intersection of Highway 240 and Interstate 182. Now, I've never actually been out there, so I don't know what that place looks like. But why would you set yourself on a fire in a fucking toilet in a porta potty? That's what I want to know.
You really want to know that answer? Shit's flammable, bro. Not a joke. I kid you not. Ever light a fart?
Yeah.
It's methane. It's flammable. It's not a joke. Why you would do it in a porta potty? My only guess would be maybe so that you wouldn't be discovered. I mean, if you're truly intent on committing suicide, it's quite a unique way to do it. But I would say that there's probably a really good chance that you're going to be discovered a lot later than if you did it out in the open. I'm just speculating here, mind you.
Okay, well, now I pulled this story specifically because this actually relates to something. I almost made this a happiness story because I actually think this is great advice. This is actually being great life advice, and it kind of reads as a review of a book to a degree because it kind of is. It talks about a book, but this is I think we talk about this in the concept in general. I stopped chasing perfection and started half-arsing life instead. These are all the ways it can pay off in your career and beyond. Everybody's working for
the weekend. Now, everywhere we look, particularly on social media, we're surrounded by people trying to improve themselves. And while it's not a bad thing to want to work towards a healthier, happier life, including through practices that have a positive impact on our mental and emotional well-being, the pursuit of constant self-improvement can be exhausting. So what if we let go of the idea of 5-year plans and 15-step morning routines and got comfortable with being a little more slapdash instead? What if we took an approach to life that's more half-assed than all-in? No excuses.
What kind of fucking stupid question is that?
It's a philosophy that author, poet, and content creator Lena Norms wholeheartedly believes in. She's a proud shave-one-legger, a self-confessed rinse the plates and tell herself any residual dirt will improve her immune system. And yet, she's also determined to live better, build a career, strengthen her relationships, be good to her body, sort out her wardrobe, find meaningful hobbies, act on her ethics, and live a full, passionate, varied life. Because aren't we all? We're just starting to realize that we don't want to bring ourselves to the brink of burnout doing so. Half-assing, Norms believes, is a much-needed antidote to our over-optimizing, all-or-nothing, do-it-100%-or-don't-do-it-at-all culture, and a world in which 9 out of 10 UK adults report experiencing high or extreme levels of pressure or stress in the past year.
Let me give you a little advice. Turn off the fucking boob tube. Stop watching the mainstream media. Don't let the propaganda in. It'll drop your stress and your pressure practically to nothing. It's called a little pill. It's known as fuck it all. You take it every morning. You wake up, you say fuck it all. I don't care about what's going on in the mainstream media. I don't care about what's going on in the world. Does it involve my immediate circle? If the answer is no, then move on, my friend. Now, in her book, Half Arse Human, How to Live Better Without Burning Out, Norms proposes that we stop chasing perfection altogether and get comfortable with doing things with less dedication, less effort, and less pressure for greater results.
For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is being standardized.
Being a half-assed human, Norms explains, is a recognizing that doing something is always better than nothing. So many of us hold ourselves to a streak mentality. We think that doing something well means doing it perfectly and consistently. And if we drop the ball, we have to start again. We tend to set goals with the very best of intentions. But the moment we slip up or skip a step or life gets busy and suddenly we're not writing the morning pages we vowed we would, then we think we might as well give up entirely. We think that because we can't do it totally right, so we shouldn't do it at all, according to Norms. We tend to forget that there's a bit in between doing everything and being perfect and being apathetic and checking out completely. That's the half-ass stage.
I wish they would not focus on my ass all the time.
In other words, a half-ass life permits us to go meat-free on Mondays when the thought of pivoting to veganism is too much. It lets us get outside and move our bodies twice a week when 12:30 feels impossible. The reality is that we can't give up completely, as tempting as it may sometimes be. Norm says, we have to do a little bit of exercise, of thinking about what we eat and what we wear and the impact our choices are having. But pursuing certain goals doesn't need to be a pantomime of perfection and a stick to beat ourselves with if things go wrong.
What the fuck did I do wrong?
Half-Ass Human includes advice on everything from half-assing your home and style to activism and ethics. Norms considers herself to be a bad vegan. Well, there's her problem right there. She's a fucking vegan of any kind. One of the most interesting chapters focuses on how half-assing your career can pay off if you play it right. Norms was inspired to write the book in part by her previous career in publishing, where she frequently felt totally burnt out, not just because she was overworked, but because she set such high expectations for herself. Every time I didn't meet my goals, I wounded my sense of self so badly, she said. I had to learn not just to separate myself from my goals, but to really conserve my energy and stop getting so lost trying to immerse myself in my work.
Yeah, I need to relax here.
Over time, Norm says she began thinking, it's enough for me to be there for my contracted 37 hours a week, do an effective job, and work hard to improve my company. I don't have to perfect everything and go above and beyond all the time, all while maintaining inbox zero and offering to plan the Christmas do. In return, she got more peace of mind and a feeling of contentment that I didn't have before, all because I was focusing on ways I showed up rather than fell short.
It's a step in the right direction after all.
While it may sound counterintuitive, lowering our expectations can actually bring us closer to achieving our goals. Norms points out that we might think we're choosing between half-assing something and putting in 100%, but in reality, we're usually choosing between half-assing and not doing something at all.
If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
The key, says Norms, is that we shouldn't half-ass everything. There are some things you might want to whole-ass, and that's great. But we don't have the space, time, or energy to whole-ass everything in our lives. And that's where half-assing can really make the difference. Ultimately, a half-ass approach is about being intentional about where you want to upgrade the parts of your life that really matter without expending more than you have to give. Did you pick this article and make me do it to piss me off? I gotta fucking know. Own it, phone boy.
I picked this article because I thought it might be useful for you to read. Yes.
Useful? No. It pissed me off.
Oh please. Oh,
it
please.
Triggered the shit out of me, sir.
Oh please. Oh please. Let's hear this. This is a Phoenix rant. I'm wet with anticipation.
You're gonna be wet because I'm about to fucking pour water on your head. You want a Phoenix rant? You got a Phoenix rant. Bullshit. I'm reminded of George Carlin. My needs aren't being met. My needs aren't being met. Let go of some of your fucking needs. Same difference. If you're not given 100%, lower your goals or eliminate some of them. This is the elephant one bite at a time discussion. I do not, repeat, do not agree with half-assing shit in your life. Was this written by a fucking millennial? Do I have to spaz out on another dipshit idea of how we can fuck off in our lives and make our lives better? No, you're making other people's lives worse because you think you're making your life better. Period. Dot. Rant done.
Well, I think it is, there's something to be said for being realistic with what you can achieve. And I think that's what this is about. Not necessarily. I think if you actually break down the concept of what she's saying here, it's probably a little bit, you probably agree a little bit more than you disagree because sometimes you do need to kind of go, yeah, that's not a realistic, you know, trying to do something, you know, it's not a realistic goal. Okay, so let's
then set more realistic goals.
Well, that's what she's saying, basically.
But she's also saying half-ass things. It's a fucked duality. I'm not going to scream. It is a fucked up duality in that you're saying set more attainable, realistic goals, but then saying, well, if those goals are too hard, yeah, just half-ass it. Get your UK ass the fuck out of here. I can't.
Okay.
I'm about to shred.
All right. It's about last call time here.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, we don't have any more voicemails. I appreciate that, but yes, I'm getting.
I'm gonna double check if there was any way in from the matriarch on the cookie issue.
Okay.
And I do not have anything, so I guess we are just going to talk about a boyfriend who was accused of not taking their relationship seriously because he refused to let his girlfriend move in after 2 weeks of dating.
Why do you think I accepted this date? You're a sure thing.
A man is thinking about ending things soon with a woman he's been dating for less than a month after she insisted they start living together.
You're shitting me.
Seeking advice from strangers, the 20-year-old boyfriend spelled out the situation about his 22-year-old girlfriend's request that made him uncomfortable on Reddit's Am I Overreacting for him on February 10th. Hey, wait a minute. Didn't we do something like this?
Well, okay, yes and no. We actually were doing our show and in contact with each other, we probably knew each other for about 6 months before completely losing our minds, taking a road trip across the country, and then moving into this place together. However, I want to point out the fact, okay, and...
Yeah. God, my
damn,
God.
Poem broke me. Dame Jennifer Weta just fucking got me. She broke me. She said the guy's a lesbian in a man's body. Ergo, it's perfectly acceptable to hire a moving van after 2 weeks. That is the fucking beautiful lesbian trope. Oh my God. Fuck. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. No, though. First of all, we knew each other for 6 months. Okay. Yes, I flew to Washington State and drove across the country a straight week, basically, with you. Together, 24/7. If that is not 1,000% a test of if you can truly endure a relationship with someone, that is, man, that is truly the rawest of experience.
Our relationship also endured Adam Curry, too, if you think about it.
Why the fuck you had to bring him up?
Because the universe has thrown lots of things at us, and yet we're here we are. We're still together, you know?
So. Okay, please do not make me do an etymology of how if he hadn't created podcasting, we never would have met. And bark, bark, woof, woof. No. Don't do it. No, wouldn't be prudent.
No.
Point of the matter is, yes, we did something slightly crazy like this. However, I think it has worked out well.
Yeah, well, probably the exception to the rule, right? When I think we, at the time, we even recognized, because I'm sitting there going, you know what? I realize I'm looking at this and I'm going, this is fucking crazy. But, you know, I mean, the reality is I was already, I had to start over. So it wasn't going to, you know, I had to, you know, it's like I said, it was just one of the, it was a crazy thing. I went, well, I feel as strongly about it now as I did back then.
Right? Well, and the beautiful thing is, okay, that if when we had gotten back here to, you know, where my life is, if you will, if things weren't going to work, like if our road trip had just gone really fucked and like you had put me on a bus or like something where it just wasn't going to work, okay. Don't take this wrong, because I totally do not mean this the way it's about to come out.
Okay.
Neither one of us would have lost anything at that point.
Yeah.
Yes, it would have sucked because it probably would have destroyed the Lotus Effect before it even had a chance to become the Lotus Effect, honestly, because I think it was still the Lotus Podcast back then.
Yes.
Okay. It arguably had the opportunity to destroy our wonderful podcast, and it would have been, well... That could have been great, but I guess not. Yeah. And go your way, I go my way.
Yeah, that could have,
I still had a place to go because I was living in my truck still. Yeah. I still was driving.
I mean, I needed a place to live. So the fact that it was here versus somewhere else doesn't really.
You know. Exactly. You don't actually, and I'm not saying this bad, but like you don't actually need me. You can handle you minus me. Life with you, and I would assume that you feel the same way, life with me is a whole lot more fun.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It is absolutely great. And, you know what? I think we're gonna go have fun in Studio 33, which means it's probably time to end this.
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it, I gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go, folks. There has to be a little editing and that kind of thing here.
Editing, dude. There was probably like 10 minutes of oh fuck audio. Fuck me, gut. Why the fuck? Why is that not going? Where it? Okay, that didn't work. Sound familiar?
Yeah, all right, but you know what?
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back, swoosh, and that's the game!
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool, and fuck you, I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.